So starting the sugi today, Mr. Hashem, we're on Daf Samachayim and Beis, two lines up before the bottom. Tan Rabbanan. Now, in order to introduce this brisa, we have to mention the concept of Ro Adam Machmas Tashmish. That's the concept that we're going to be discussing. So we're talking about a woman who has a Cheskes Tara Labayla. And then, as a result of Tashmish, she sees Dam. Now, one of the things that we're going to have to clarify is, how do we know that this Dam was Machmas Tashmish? Because what we're going to soon see is that it's not just a question of being Machmir and assuming that this Dam is Dam and Amokar, and therefore she's Tmeya. That itself is premise number one, which we can accept. We have no reason right now to believe that the Dam came from anywhere else. But the second premise, that's going to need a lot of thought. The Gemara is going to assume that this was not just her regular Dam Nidus that happened, that she happened to find then, but for some reason she found Dam that came Machmas Tashmish. And that would mean perhaps that she made a Bedika before Tashmish, or for sure she made a Bedika after Tashmish. We'll have to see again a lot of the details of this, but it's clear that this was not just a coincidence. It wasn't just that she had Dam in Amokar and it happened to come out during Tashmish. You know, if that would be the case, okay, she's Tmeya and she'll wait 7 days, whatever it is, and then everything's fine. But no, what we're assuming is that what initiates the Dam, what stimulates the Dam to come out, is the Tashmish itself. And if we come to that conclusion, then we have to worry about an Isur Kares. Would he have another Tashmish? In other words, if what's causing the Dam to come out is the Tashmish, then how can we allow him to have Tashmish, knowing full well that she will or may very well see again Dam Machmas Tashmish? So what we have to clarify is, how do we know that this Dam was brought about by Tashmish, and jump to the conclusion, therefore, which seems to be quite a jump, that next time she has Tashmish again, she'll see Dam Machmas Tashmish. What leads us to that conclusion? Why not just assume that it was a matter of coincidence, it was that time of the month where she should see Dam Nida, and the Tashmish itself is coincidental? Again, as far-fetched as that might sound, but on the other hand, to jump to the other conclusion, that also seems to be quite an assumption, that the Dam is going to come in the future when she has Tashmish. Why should we assume so?
Is that a Metzius? That Tashmish causes Dam in Amokar medically?
I don't know if it's Tashmish or it's maybe anything. I mean, the Gemara is going to say, let's check it out with the Shvoferes. You know, so it might be any physical body that goes all the way up to the Mokar might, if she's ready to see Dam, might be the final catalyst to bring the Dam down. Now, with the Gemara, you'll soon see, uses a euphemism for the Eivor HaTashmish, which is called an Etzba, as opposed to Shvoferes, which is a physical body. And the Gemara has a long discussion about what is a Shvoferes, what's it made out of, how do we know it's not going to injure her, and then cause Dam, which is Minamaka, and not Dam Machmas Me'amokar. And within the context of that discussion, we're going to have to see if there's a premise that I mentioned to you, Rabbi, before, and that is that if she'll see Dam because of the Etzba, then she'll see Dam because of a Shvoferes. Who says that that's the same? Maybe there's some special reason why she'll see Dam because of the Etzba, not because of Shvoferes. I mean, that's going to be one of the issues that we have to discuss. Now, another issue that's going to come up, just giving, this is just an introduction, is that Ro Adam Machmas Tashmish, once she establishes herself in that category, does that mean that A, she can't live with her own husband, but B, she can live with another husband? Or do we say, no, if the etzba creates dam, it brings down the dam. I shouldn't say creates dam, sorry. But if the etzba is the catalyst that brings the dam, then maybe someone else's etzba will also bring the dam. Or do we say, no, you know, it's his etzba, not somebody else's etzba. So therefore, we establish that she's a roa dam achmas tashmish tachas baila harishon, that doesn't mean that therefore she's going to be a roa dam achmas tashmish baila hasheni. That's another discussion.
Rebbe,
just one second. I mean, just to make sure that I get everything in before I forget. Another important background information here that we'll need by way of introduction is what's called Vesta. Now, the word Vesta usually classically refers to a time period in the month when we can anticipate that, because over and over again, let's say three times over, she has proven herself at that time of the, at that day of the month, to see dam, that creates a vesis. But the truth is that it doesn't have to be related to time. It could also be related to physical actions. Thus, the Gemara operates with the premise that there may be physical actions that bring about her dam, that are the catalysts again to bring the dam. And if on three occasions that particular physical activity, for example, the Gemara talks about kfitza, you know, she jumps in a certain way, and that's going to be a catalyst. And over and over again, month after month, she's kofetzes, and then she sees dam, is then we believe that we can attribute the dam to the kfitza. Again, it's dam in amakar. There's no other source for this dam, but what brought about the dam was the kfitza, and that's going to create a veses. Now, I'm not sure if that veses of kfitza has the same status al pidim as a veses of zman, but for our purposes, let's just simplify things and assume it does. Then you could see that dam machmas tashmish is also a veses, which means that instead of kfitza causing the dam to come out, it's the tashmish itself that causes the dam. Now, there's a machlokas that we've discussed in the past, whether vestos doraisa or vestos derabbanan. If our sugya is to be analyzed from the perspective of vestos, then it would come under the general issue as to whether vestos are doraisa or derabbanan. So that I'm not sure up front, I'm not at all sure, not at all convinced, that roa dam machmas hatashmish is a doraisa halacha. Does it have the same status as vestos doraisa? And if it does, well, vestos are established after three times. If she's a roa dam machmas tashmish on three occasions, then you know what? She's established herself to have a vest machmas tashmish, not machmas kfitza in this place, but machmas tashmish. If that be the case, then given that vestos are doraisa, then what's going to be? We have to anticipate that the next tashmish she'll also have dam. Now again, that doesn't necessarily establish her to have a re'iya machmas tashmish from a different etzba, which means baila hasheni. And therefore, I'm not going to go as far as to say that she's asura linase klal, you know, make her into an aguna that she can't marry anyone. But then, well, what's going to be if she becomes a roa machmas dam machmas tashmish under the second baal? Okay, so we'll say Ein Kol Hetzbo Shavos, and she was a roa dam machmas tashmish for the first etzba, and now for the second etzba. So let's say she got divorced from her first husband, married a second husband, which is okay, because Ein Hetzbo Shavos. But now, lo and behold, she marries a third husband, and once again she becomes a roa dam machmas tashmish. At what point do I finally say that it doesn't matter which etzba we're talking about, because she's already established through chazakas that three different etzbos made her into a roa dam machmas tashmish. Again, that would require a minimum of nine tashmishim. I said, it sounds like we're learning Hilchos Shofar here. You know, how many tkiyas do you need on the meat? But it comes out that three, three, and three is nine. Now, another issue that we're going to have to address here in this sugya of roa dam machmas tashmish is the following. Is there a way that even after the third round, which means baila shlishi, that we can do this bedika with the shfoferes, and that will clarify that maybe the dam is not because of tashmish. That dam is coming even if it wasn't tashmish. any sort of obstruction or intrusion into the makar is going to bring her dam. Or perhaps we can even go as far as to, it's amazing how Chazal was so sensitive to precise biological locations here, that if the shofaris goes this way and the dam is meant to come into the shofaris, if they find dam on the outsides of the shofaris, that might mean that the dam is not in a makar, because the contact between the shofaris and the makar was in the middle, and now what she's seeing is dam in atzdadim. Now, dam min atzdadim is a complicated issue, but let's be very superficial about it and assume that dam min atzdadim is dam min machmas makar. It's not dam min amakar, it's coming min amakar. Now we have to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Well, is it an absolute clarification that the dam that she's seeing, let's say, on the outside of the shofaris, is dam min hatzdadim, which is dam min amakar? And if so, do I have a right to assume that just like the shofaris, once it entered as an obstruction, brought about dam min amakar, that's dam min hatzdadim, so too the etzba would have also been like the shofaris and stimulated dam machmas hatzdadim, and that's dam min amakar, so it's not dam nid at all? In other words, we have two different issues over here. We had the first issue is whether or not she establishes herself as a pattern that Tashmish is bringing about the dam. But then you have to ask yourself a second question, which maybe should be the first question. It's even more fundamental. Maybe the dam is not mina makar. Maybe it's dam mina tzadim. Now, in order to clarify that it's dam mina tzadim, the Gemara assumes that this bedika shofaris might do so. Now, does it mean that since she has dam mina tzadim, that's going to clarify that the Tashmish itself was not bringing out dam min amakar, but dam min atzdadim? And if that be the case, then after the third Tashmish under the third husband, where she saw dam, she did the bdika of shofaris. If that clarifies for us, establishes for us that the dam that she's seeing is not min amakar, but min atzdadim, min amakar, then she can resume her normal relationship with her husband. Now, I'm not sure what that means in terms of the first three damim that she saw, the three tashmisha, meaning the first two are gone already. There's nothing to talk about. She was tovelis and everything. But now the third, let's say she does the bedika the morning after tashmish on the third round, under the third husband. That morning, she clarifies through this bedika that the dam is coming in amaka. Does that have an impact on the dam that she saw last night, meaning she doesn't even need tefillah on them? How reliable? Maybe we can make a kal vachomer if we can rely on this bedika of shofaris in order to establish that she's muteris labayla and she's not a roa dam machmas tashmish, i.e., that the dam is coming out not because it's dam in amokar, but because the tashmish is stimulating dam in atzdadim, which is not dam in amokar. If that's strong enough to allow her to continue and resume her relationship with her husband, maybe it could be even strong enough to establish that the dam that she saw in the last Tashmish, which was last night, is not dam min amakar, but dam machmas makar. And that be the case, she doesn't even need a tefillah b'mikvah, she doesn't even need zayin nikiyah. That would be fascinating. But I think the most major problem here that confuses my mind in this sugya is, if you're telling me, and that seems to be the premise of the Gemara, that the bedika shofaris is reliable, and the fact that there was no dam found in the shofaris means that any dam is coming min atzdadim and not min amakar, why are we waiting for the third husband to do that? In other words, and this is where we have to get into Rashi, and hopefully in Mirtz Hashem we'll learn the Rashis carefully, every word in Rashi. Rashi seems to be indicating that as far as the first husband is concerned, there is no option. She saw on three consecutive occasions dam machmas tashmish. She has established with regard to this husband, this etzbah, that she's a roa dam machmas tashmish. No option for bedika. The Gemara will only, and as we go through, we'll try to see if this is correct, if my premise is correct, that the only option that Gemara offers for a bedika is only after the third husband. She got to get from her first husband after three consecutive riyas machmas tash. She got to get from a second husband, and now we get to the third husband. Now, obviously, in the case of a third husband, the situation is becoming very desperate, because we've been operating with the premise of ein kol etzbo shavos. But once we get to three different etzbos, then we establish that she's a raw dam machmas kol etzba. The kol etzbo shavos law for this woman. Who, if that be the case, as I said before, she won't be able to marry a fourth person. Maybe what the Gemara wants to do is present a bedika, which quite admittedly is not the best of the best. It's not an absolute clarity, but it's enough of a clarity to prevent this woman from getting into a situation of, again, I'm going to loosely use the word, a borrowed word, aguna, where she can't marry anyone. In other words, because of the desperate urgency that follows in the aftermath of her ninth tashmish, if you follow me, meaning the third tashmish, tachas baila shlishi, she's now in a desperate situation. All avenues are closed. The only thing that we can open up for her is this possibility of a bedikah shfoferes. But again, you're getting involved in a logical inconsistency, because I'm just on pure logical terms, before we introduce halachic, you know, principles and when we could be making and when we could machmir and so on. But on a pure logical level, we're really being inconsistent. Because what we're saying is that her first husband, for example, same thing can be said about her second husband, has to divorce her. We're not going to open up the option of bedikah. And yet after the third husband's third tashmish, we're going to open up the option of bedikah, which means we're going to clarify that she wasn't the roa dam min ha-mokar, but rather dam min ha-tzadim, and that's going to allow her to resume her relationship with her third husband. Then logically, we should be consistent and allow for that same identical bedikah to be operative vis-a-vis the first husband. And I just wanted to read to you something that I saw here in the name of the Maharam Mirutenberg. He writes here that the Maharam Mirutenberg was of the opinion that this entire Isur of Roa Damach Mas Tashmish is all based on Vestos. That she was Kovas Vesta Liros Damach Mas Tashmish. And the Nodeb Yehuda is going to teach us, based on this Maharam Mirutenberg, what the nafkivinas are. If this establishes a vessa, it's going to have many nafkivinas about Dini Vestos. And then he goes ahead and he suggests a whole nother pshat, that maybe the Din of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish is not based on Vestos, but rather, it's based on some sort of a choli. She has some sort of malfunctioning here, some sort of pathological phenomenon. Hacholi goreng la lahotzi dam nidus betashmish. Now again, this is not to be confused with roa dam achmas makar. That's not dam min ha-mokar. Here we're talking about dam nidus min ha-mokar, but she has a certain choli. And that choli is such that tashmish brings about the dam. No, a normal healthy woman would not establish a vest machmas tashmish. So that in dini vestos, we're going to get into all sorts of issues, and the Rebbe Yehuda is going to try to teach us, take us by the hand and teach us about all the repercussions and the applications of vestos. But if the Rebbe Yehuda is correct in his second opinion, and by the way, this second opinion was accepted, number one, by the Chavas Das, that's the Nesivus, and hopefully Mitzvah will see this inside, and it was accepted by the Lechem V'Simla, okay, I don't know who he was, but also one of the important poskim, and that we're dealing with Dam Machmas Choli, then all the repercussions and all the nafkevinas that the Nodav Yehuda has established based on Maram Yerutberg of Estos no longer apply. Because with regard to Choli, we're not talking about Vestos, we're talking about Choli. I mean, there may be a way in which we can establish that she heals herself, so to speak, of this Choli, and that's a whole different mechanics or constellation to replace the halacha of Vestos. So again, what we have now is an introduction to the whole sugya of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, is that number one, a woman who continuously on three consecutive occasions sees Dam Machmas Tashmish with her first husband, that is going to create a chazakah as far as one etzba is concerned, that etzba. She's now going to have to get a get from her husband, because the premise is that she'll see Dam again on the fourth occasion, Machmas Tashmish. However, that doesn't create any isa, this point number two, for another etzba. And the only time in which you can establish that Kol Etzbo Shavas law, as far as she's concerned, is only after the third round with her third husband of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish. Point number three, at that point, after the desperate situation of a woman who now Kol Etzbo Shavas, she's always going to see Dam Machmas Etzba, because she's established that with regard to three different Etzbos. Now we have to introduce the bedika, and that bedika is the only thing that could save the day. We have to add another point, that Shitas Rashi is that the bedika is only meaningful after the third Baal. It's not going to prevent the Chovas Gerishin from the first Baal and from the second Baal. And that's going to, we're going to have to rack our brains and figure out the number of different explanations of Rashi, why Rashi maintains that that's the case. And finally, a machlokes between the Nodeb Yehuda and the Chavas Das about what this whole business of Dam Machmas Tashmish is all about. Is it predicated on the laws of Vestos? And we'll see as we go along the various repercussions. Or no, it's not a din of Vestos, it's a din of Choli. Vestos is still within the realm of normal, that various women in their biological situation, in a very subjective way, could have different actions or activities that bring on the onset of anidus. That's within, you know, that's not pathological. And that's called Vestos. And according to one opinion, I'm not sure if we pascal like that, it's Vestos d'oraisa. But the other approach is going to be that this is a very unique and individual situation in her situation, that she is considered a chola, and because of her particular disease, that she's some sort of a, we'll call it a gynecological disorder, she is seeing Dam Machmas Tashmish. That's going to be the approach of the Lechem Simla. But once I'm quoting to you this presentation, I want to add another point over here. A couple of points. Number one, that in all these cases that she establishes herself as a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish over and over and over again, it's only because she made a bedika after Tashmish. So that's the good news. What do I mean by the good news? In effect, if at some point after the Tashmish, we'll have to decide what that point is, but let's say 5 minutes go by after Tashmish and she sees Dam, that's not a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish. Why? Because then we have reason to believe that she may have had a Riyas Dam that has nothing to do with Tashmish. But only if she makes a Bedika and establishes that the Dam that she sees is attached, is a result of the Tashmish, then within that short period of time after Tashmish, she established herself on one occasion, and then again this is going to repeat itself three times over, as a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish. Now, what's the shear? How close in proximity in time does it have to be that she made this bedika? So he says the following, that the shear of Zman is going to be the amount of time that it takes of, just 1 second, I'll read it to you. Miyad Achar Tashmish. What does that mean? Miyad Achar Tashmish. It means the amount of time that would have taken her to do this bedika. In other words, from the time that the Tashmish terminates until it takes her to do Miyad this bedika. But in Bodka Atzma Acharei Shehiya, if she was Shoah, Eina Neseres Sharei Hadam Ba Achara Tashmish. Okay, now if somebody could be kind enough, just to save me the time, to open up the Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Pei Zion Sif Aleph. Okay, And we're going to see there how the Shulchan Aruch formulates this din of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish. When did she make the Bedikah? Now, by the way, I mentioned to you before that there's a Veset called Kfitza, Kofza. So if you want to make a note of it, the Sugya of Kfitza is on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Okay, in case I forget, you'll be my memory, because you have a very good memory. So Joel, you remember Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Okay? If you have a Gemara Nidah, you might just quickly peruse the Gemara there on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis and see the case of Kfitza. And it's very interesting that Kfitza might be classified or described, thank you so much, as a Rias Dam Machmas Onis. What do I mean by that? Let's just try to explain the word onis. It doesn't mean classical onis, you know, somebody's compelled or under duress. What it means is that there's an external cause, I'll explain, that's bringing about her dam. Normally, the dam comes on its own, memela, when it's, you know, orech bizman bo, whenever it's time, it'll come. Here, it comes because of some sort of external action. In this case, kfitza. That still is metameha, like any dam. There's no difference whatsoever, al pi halacha, between dam that comes bismano and dam that comes minamakar beonis. And the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis is going to derive this from a Yalfusa. The pasuk says, "Isha ki yizov zov dama," and then the Torah says that she's tmei. So the extra language here, "ki yizov zov dama," teaches me that afilu dam machmas onis, and that's the case of a veset of kfitza. So she saw dam machmas onus, let's call that onus X, whatever it is, kfitza in this case, and she sees it every time again. Her nidus is brought about by this onus, this maisa kfitza. That makes her into a vest of kfitza. If we go with the approach of the Marami Rutenberg, that's basically the underlying premise of our sugya, that why is a woman who's Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish Asura Labayla, because she's established a Veset, again, a Re'iyas Dam Machmas Ones, but nevertheless it's Dam Min HaMokar, and what's the Ones? What's the external cause that's bringing about the onset of a Nidus? It's Tashmish itself. Now the Shulchan Aruch codifies this halach of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish in Simon Kuf Pei Zayin, Isha Sharos Adam Machmas Tashmish Miyad, so she saw the dam immediately after Tashmish. What's that? B'chdei she'toshit yada. She had the amount of time that it took her after the Tashmish to extend her arm, l'tachas hakar, underneath the pillow, v'titol eid, and she could take into her hands the cloth, livdok bo. It's an unbelievably short period of time. I don't know, again, you have to look at the postgame. I didn't get to that point yet, but my guess is that after Tashmish to remove the aid and immediately to be bodek herself, that's a short period of time. So that's why I say we're going to have to see in what situations a woman is obligated to do this bedikah, because in the absence of that obligation, let's just avoid the whole problem of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish by telling her, encouraging her, advocating that she shouldn't make this bedikah. It's only because she made the bedikah that all these problems came to the fore. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that if it happened shalosh pa'amim, oh, by the way, I should add another thing, that this bedikah, which is going to generate the problem of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish if it was made immediately after the Tashmish, is not what we call a bedikas chorin ustakim. It's not an internal examination. It's even kinuach. Because again, if she's mekaneches in such a way that the dam comes from that place, then we have no reason to suspect that it came from any other place. Okay. Shalosh pa'amim. Three times after bia, this is what happened. She found dam b'chol shalosh pa'amim ritzufim. In other words, there was never a tashmish in the middle where she had no dam. If she had tashmish in the middle where she had no dam, then the whole din, right, the whole din of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish is completely suspended. But Einat Tzarech Shlosha Leilos Ritzufin. It doesn't matter 3 nights. It's 3 occasions of Tashmish. Could be spread out over a long period of time. Rasa Dam, and she saw Dam. Now, the Rambo wants to raise a whole different question, which we haven't even touched on. That's really advanced. What happens if she doesn't make a Bedika, but he makes a Bedika, and he finds Dam on his aid? Is that enough to establish a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish? And you might be surprised to find out that the Rambo equates both Bedikas. It matters not whether she made the Bedika on her aid, or he made a Bedika on his aid, if that happened 3 times consecutively, or you can mix them up, then Asura L'shamish im Bailo Zeh Ela, and here's the sad news for today, Tizgarish V'tinase Liachim. So the bad news is Tizgarish, the good news is that she gets married to someone else. Again, I don't know in Hilchas Shidduchim whether she has to tell her second husband why she got divorced. You know, if he thinks that she got divorced because, you know, the marriage didn't go. So although in my father's time that didn't happen, there was no such thing, my father said. In his day, the divorce was just an unknown. Again, it's hard to believe, I'm talking about my own father. He said amongst his chevra, in his day, and he wasn't in any sort of special chevra, divorce was unheard of. But today, Rachmana Litzlan, it's like, you know, it's heard of. More than her. So if today, you know, you tell the second suitor, you know, the second candidate, Meshudach, you know, that look, it didn't work out with the first husband, so he'll go out with her a few more times and more, you know, because she was divorced once, he's not a Kohen, and he finds that she's a wonderful girl. So he'll blame the first husband that the marriage didn't work out. But, you know, if she was Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, I don't know. Maybe she should reveal that secret to the second husband. It's a little embarrassing. Let the shadchan do the dirty work. But, you know, the second guy might not want to marry her, because if she was Roa Dam Machmas Etzba Rishona, maybe she'll be Roa Dam Machmas Etzba Shnia. I don't know. That's all. That's Tzarek Ian Behilta Shidduch. That was just a Mayra Muzga on the song. Tinase Liacher, Nises Liacher, says the Shulchan Aruch. The Ross Adam Machmas Tashmish, Shalosh Pom Ritzufin, is Asur L'Shamish Gam Im Oso Baal, says the Shulchan Aruch, at this garish. And then the good news is this Tinase L'Shlish. The Im, the unfortunate, Gam, you guessed it, Gam Im Ashlishi Ross Adam Machmas Tashmish, Shalosh Pom Ritzufin, Lo Tinase Liacher, El Asur L'Kol Ha'olam Ad Shetivdok. Now, he doesn't tell you right now, Ad Shetivdok, but if you fast forward to the next sif, he's going to say Ketzad Bodekis. What exactly is the nature of the Bodekis? The Bdika, no Telish for Ferishal Aver. Okay, why Aver? We'll see, because otherwise it might damage her inside. Okay, a lot of details about this Bdika. And if she doesn't see any Dam in the Shfoferes, then the bottom line is the Adua Shadam Hu Minat Stadim Umuteres.
So
let's see what exactly is the Bdikas Shfoferes. Okay, I gave you all these wonderful introductions, yeah, which I think is good, because
yeah.
I gave you a lot of work that took me a long time. So I gave you the sort of the summary of it. But now we have to really go through it inside. It's only about 11 lines of Gemara, but they're action-packed. The Rashi's here, the Tosis in. There's also, do you know that the Ravid wrote a book on Hilchas Nida? It's called Bali HaNefesh. And the Ravid Sefer on Nida is a classic. And he spends an unusual amount of time on Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, because he felt it was probably a very severe, a serious, and not so uncommon. I wouldn't say common, but not so uncommon. Yeah, it's a terrible situation.
Is there a concept that if she's proven after the third husband that it's from the tzad, that the first divorce is a toast? She got divorced on the condition that this was the reason.
So we're going to see something unbelievable, Joel, that Rashi Shita is that the Bedika is not going to clarify anything as far as the first and the second husbands. We have to see why. So again, what I want you to keep in mind, in the back of your mind, is that although we're learning a sugya b'dikas shoferes, don't fool yourself into thinking that Chazal defined the bedikas from Ferris as an absolute clarification, I should say. There's no certainty, even in a bedikas shvo feres. In the case of Baal HaShlishi, there may be reason why we're going to rely on that bedikas shvo feres. And that reasoning is going to apply to Baal HaShlishi and not to the first two husbands. We have to figure out why. But be that as it may, the premise of every discussion here within the framework of Rashi is that the bedika itself is not totally reliable. As much as we read the Gemara and we think, wow, the bedika, let's do the bedika, great bedika. Oh, no. That bedikah is only a last resort. It's not something that we advocate l'chatchila because the bedikah itself is not reliable. But Rav Osai, what I'm surprised that you didn't ask me the kasha of the Ravid. I thought just mentioning the Ravid's name, you would definitely ask this kasha. Yeah. Okay, let me see. What's the magic number here? At what point does she establish herself as a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish? What's the magic number?
Three.
Correct. Three is the magic number. Says the Ravid, I don't get it. This is not the way he says it.
Oh, yeah.
It's my language. I don't get it. The Gemara is operating with a different number. Not three, but
nine.
Four.
Before,
now I'm talking about vis-a-vis the first Baal. Again, yeah. I'm asking you, what establishes her vis-a-vis Reuven, we'll call him, the Baal HaRishon, as a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, such that now Reuven has to deliver a get. She cannot resume her relationship with Reuven.
Right.
There's no option but Gerish. What's the magic number? You and I would have said three. But think about it again. It's four. Why? Because let's read it. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Haroa Dam Machmas Tashmish. So let's say this. She went to the mikveh. She had a relationship with her husband, and she saw a dam. What do we do in such a case? Mishameshes pam rishona, shnia, shlishes. Umikan vielich lo tishamesh ad shetiskari. Fact arrived, what number are we up to? Four. Do you see that? Because again, she saw...
It's a three cap after the first
one. Exactly. After the first one, where she was already a roa dam machmas tashmish, then mishameshes in baila rishona, shnia, shlishis. Now again, there's going to be another reading of the Gemara, but I have to tell you up front, it's really bedochak. If we want to be honest and, you know, put the cards on the table, the Gemara is talking about four bedikos. Fact arrived, I don't get it. In Kol HaTorah Kula, three establishes a chazaka. The first time she saw, she should already be in the thrust into the constellation of is she chas v'shalom a roa dam machmas tashmish. She saw a second time in the next tashmish and a third time. That should be enough. No, the Gemara says first tashmish sort of like thrusts her into the safek, into the the net of Roa Dam, and now to establish a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, we need three Tashmishim. Why is that so?
What is
are you with me in the Ravid's Kasha?
I'm with you, I understand it perfectly.
Okay.
What is the second Tashmish? Is it the next day?
Or no, it can't be the next day because she needs Zayin Nikiyin.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. But again,
what happened? You automatically assume that it's definitely a Maka and you don't have to do the word.
Right. So I'm just saying, Lamaisa, she went to Mikvah four times, not three times, if you follow my point.
I understand.
I mean, there's no real point to her going to the Mikvah the fourth time because she has to get a Gerish anyway. I'm saying, let's say she goes to Mikvah because she hopes to marry another guy. I'm just joking with you, but you understand my point.
Right.
My point, when I say that she went to Mikvah four times, don't take me literally. What I mean to say is that it's only on the fourth Bia that we insisted that she receive a divorce from her husband. She cannot resume that relationship. Fact arrived, why not? Why not on the third occasion? Now, the Ravid gives us a little more information to strengthen his kasha. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos, says the Ravid, I'll tell you exactly what daf it is in a minute, it's in the Samachs, but I don't remember exactly what daf, but I'll find it for you, Bli Neder. The Gemara establishes a machlokas between Rebbe and Chachamim about chazakas in general. Rebbe, by the way, this might surprise you, is of the opinion that two creates a chazak. And we don't accept the sheet of Rebbe. We accept the sheet of the Chachamim that you need what?
Three.
Now in this case, when I say the Chachamim, it's not, what we call Achri Rabim Lahatos. You know, Yochin V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. The Halacha is a little bit more complicated, because the Gemara says that sheet of the Chachamim was represented by Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And it's not at all clear that the Chachamim accepted the sheet of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So in terms of Klali HaPsak, I'm not sure if we can apply the principle. I'm very unsure. I'm quite sure that you cannot apply the principle of Yachid V'Rab Malacha K'Rab. So we're going to present it as Yachid V'Yachid. It's Reb Shimon Gamliel's word against Rebbe's word. And the Gemara's final conclusion, here it is, Yivam HaSamach Dalet Amid Beis. Are you noting this down? Because I'm going to have to rely on you later on. Samach Dalet Amid Beis. So we had Lamed Vav Amid Beis, now on Samach Dalet Amid Beis. Lamed Vav Amid Beis here in Nida, and Samach Vav Amid Beis in Yivamis. The Gemara says the following: B'nesuin u'b'malchios halacha k'rebi. B'vestos u'b'shar mu'ad halacha k'reb Shimon Gamliel. So let's just quickly review what we can. Let's say, for example, a person violates lavim. It doesn't have to be the same lav. It could be different lavim, but consistently. So we gave him one set of malchus. We gave him another set of malchus. Nothing seems to be helping. And the dinim, how do we deal with this guy? You know, if nothing's helping, the malchus were meant to set him straight, and it doesn't, you know, maybe we have to send him to a long-term reform school and put him into solitary confinement. I don't know. Maybe we have to put him to death. I don't know. You have to see the sugya there with all its gory details. So at what point do we finally throw in the towel? We give up on this mechuy of malchus. So Rebbe says after two times. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says after three. Same machlokas applies to nisuin. A woman was married, and Nebuchadnezzar's husband died. Lo aleinu. And she got married a second time, and Nachamal, her husband, died. Married a third time, and her husband died. She becomes muhzekes as a killer wife. And then we really have to tell the fourth guy, you know, have to be honest with him. That's
part of the resume.
Yeah, that's got to be in the resume, because his life is in the balance over here. So Rebbe says after two times it's enough that we should establish her as a killer wife. Again, there are many, many exceptions to the rule. If she married him with a heart condition, you know, that might be an exception to the rule. And Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says three times. And then we have another machlok, is that Shar Abuah, right? The Shar was no gap once, twice, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, three times, and then it becomes a Shar Abuah. And then you have this woman who has a Veset, meaning she saw on the first of the month, 3 months in a row, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, we pass it, and that's how we pass it, that she establishes her Chazaka with three times. And the Gemara makes this split, which again, that requires a lot of research. As far as the Suin and Malchus, we're going to be very careful about this, and we're going to paskin like Rebbe two times is enough. We're going to be more makil with regard to a Shar Muad and Vestos, and it's not until after the third time. Says the Raivid, but everybody agrees that after the third time, you have a Chazaka. Here and now is Sugya Vro Adam Machmas Tashmish. Says the Raivid, what's going on? It's only after the fourth time that she becomes a Vro Adam Machmas Tashmish, we force the first husband to give her a get. And here's where the Raivit establishes his breakthrough. And everything that we've seen until now is all based on this Raivit. So it might come to you as anticlimactic, his answer, but that's because I gave you too much information. Meaning you already know the cat is out of the bag. But if you didn't know anything, this becomes a radical chiddush. Says the Raivit, Bibia Rishona Lobodka Atzma Kodem Atashmish. Now again, we've been discussing Bedika Liachar Tashmish. Keep in mind, the Raivit is throwing in another element into the equation, which I told you before is very questionable. He says that Ro Adam Machmas Tashmish only applies if she did a Bedika before the Tashmish. And he says, Yitochen, since before the first Tashmish that we're talking about, and as I said before, she's not caught in the net yet of Ro Adam Machmas Tashmish. She didn't make a Bedika. Is he talking shadam hoyasham kvar lifnei atashmish? The Sidrei Tara, who is, I'm exaggerating, but 1,000 years after the Raivit, you know, we're really going fast forwarding. He says that the problem with Re'ir Rishona is not Bedika Kodem Tashmish, but rather Lo Bodka Atzma Miyad Li'achar HaTashmish. So I don't know. It seems to me, as you know, just as a very tenuous premise here, that what we're seeing here in Shulchan Aruch about all the emphasis on Bedika Li'achar HaTashmish reflects the Shita of the Sidrei Tara, rather than the Shita of the Ravid. The Ravid seems to put all the emphasis here on Bedika Kodem Tashmish, whereas the Sidrei Tara puts the emphasis on Bedika Li'achar Tashmish. And the Sidrei Tara is basically saying the following, that if she didn't make the Bedika immediately after Tashmish, then the assumption is that the Dam that she saw was not Machmas HaTashmish. So again, in order to establish Vados on Dam Machmas HaTashmish, at least on one occasion, we need the Bedika, whatever the Bedika is. Markedisle. But in the second, third, and fourth Re'ios, there was a Bedika, excuse me, and that might answer our question, is there a Chiyuv Bedika? As I said to you before, why do we bother with Bedika? Why not just whisper into our ear, stay away from Bedikas?
But I seem to remember that there has to be Hargosha.
Oh, we'll get to Hargosha also. Yeah. Hold on for just a minute, Rabbi, because you're way ahead of me now with Hargosha. But that's going to be another element in the equation. And the Rishonim are going to insist that at the time of the Tashmish itself, she had Hargosha, whatever that means.
Not anymore, we have Bedikas. You're right. There's no Havamina of Bedikas before or after.
So he's saying that the only reason we need Bedikas before or after, again, a different sheet, this is because she's already caught in the net, I call it. She's already bechlal a suffek of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish. In other words, we're not going to define that first bia as a Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish, but it's enough to engender a suffek such that now she has to clarify that suffek. It's a Chovas Birur. Do you follow my point? And the Chovas Birur could only be tested or achieved if there's a Bedika attached either before or after to each one of the three Tashmishim. Now, when she has the three Tashmishim consecutively, all of which were covered by a Bedika and she saw Dam, so she was Bodekas as Atzma Miyad Achrei HaTashmish, let's say according to Sidrei Tara, and she saw Dam, then on three occasions we know for sure that it's Dam Machmas Tashmish. The first Bedika, on the other hand, says the Ravid, which is the first Tashmish, I meant to say, is a Tashmish without Bedika. That does not incorporate, that does not get integrated into the weaving of three Re'iyos Machmas Tashmish. And therefore, in effect, although the magic number still remains three, and we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel invests those, and this all supports if you remember the approach of the Maharami Rutenberg, that the whole parasha, the whole sugya of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish is predicated on Vestos, and therefore in the repetition three times consecutively where she makes a Bedika immediately after Tashmish and finds Dam, right now we have no reason to suspect Dam Minat Stodim or Dam Machmas Maka, call it, therefore it's Dam Machmas Tashmish. How do I know it's Dam Machmas Tashmish? Because she made the Bedika immediately after the Tashmish. Three times consecutively, we pass the Shema, establishes a chazaka. And again, we still haven't answered the main question, so why not do a Bedikas Shofaris at this point? Okay, so Shofaris is a weak and unreliable Bedika, and therefore, rather than risk the possibility that she'll have another Tashmish with her husband, and then he'll violate an Issa Kares. Again, when I say an Issa Kares, it's a little tricky, because it's technically, and again, I don't want you to think I'm very picayune about my choice of words, but maybe I am, it's really technically what we call a shigig askaris. It's not amazing. He's not doing it because he knows she's a nida, or she'll see Dam at the moment of Tashmish. But be that as it may, shigig askaris is machayv what? Karm chata. So the Torah takes shigig askaris pretty seriously. And we have to do everything under the sun to avoid such a suffek of shigas chatos. Again, until she has a chazak of three times around, we're not going to be worried about a shigas chatos. But after the third time, then we have a shigas chatos. Now, as I told you, That's the way the Ravid reads the Gemara, the Brisa. Because again, it's a simple reading of the Brisa. The Ravid is not, how shall I say, discovering the wheel here. That as I state, right? But I'm going to show you that there's another way of reading the Brisa. But let's read it straightforward, the way the Ravid wants us to read. Tan Rabbanan, Haroa da Machmas Tashmish. Okay, so that was the first bia that engendered this Sofei. Is then Meshameshes Pam Rishona, U Shnia, U Shlishis, Umikan Dielech, Lo Teshamesh Adshet Tisgarish. Okay. Now, after the Ravid, very shortly after the Ravid published his, again, there was no publishing there, but after the manuscript started circulating of his Bali Anefesh, somebody, maybe you heard of him, wrote Hasagas on the Ravid. His name was Rabbeinu Zerachya HaLevi, otherwise known as the Balamor. The Balamor, Rabbeinu Zerachya HaLevi. He was also an absolute genius. But for some reason, I don't know why, I have to read up on his biography, he was a critic, if you know what I'm saying. You know, he wrote a critique on the Rif, which is called the Balamor. He wrote a critique on the Ravid. He wrote a critique on the Ran. He wrote many, many critiques. Hasogas HaRavid, they call it. Hasogas HaRazor. Razor is Rosh Tevis, Rabbeinu Zerachya HaLevi. So he writes, no. Ha'isha Neseres Machmas Tashmish Af below Bedika. And therefore, Hareiya Rishona Sharasa Machmas Tashmish Afal Gavdilo Bodka Gamhi Mitztarefes Leminyan Sholosh Reios. And therefore, after the third Reio, says the Baal Amor, she's already Asura Levaila. He needs to give her a get. In other words, the Ravid wants to reread the text. And when the text says, Mishameshes Pam Rishona, it doesn't mean Pam Rishona subsequent to the first Bia, because even though that first Bia didn't have a Bidik attached to it, nevertheless, it still makes her into a Roa Da Machmas Tashmish. And therefore, when it says now Shnia, and then it says Shlishes, it means Shnia and Shlishes after the very first Tashmish. Again, in my humble opinion, it's a stretch.
Off the wall.
And not only that, it's not only a stretch, but on top of that, we have now a fundamental machlokas in. I'm so trained to think in terms of the Ravid's approach that this whole business of Roa Tamachas Tashmish is only because of the Bedika, that now, you know, to shift my brain and say it's not because of the Bedika that she's a Roa Tamachas Tashmish. But it's because of the premise that the halacha operates with, at least the Baal Maris halacha operates with, that a Roa Da Machmas Tashmish has a hargosha of Yitzias Da Min HaMokar. Again, I have to assume that according to Baal Maris, she might not be so forthcoming to admit it, because in her mind, she maybe is not aware of the Yitzias Adam. But you remember the discussion that we had with regard to Bedikas Eid? Do you remember that? That in Bedikas Eid, we assume that she had Argosha? Yeah, everybody asked the question.
No.
Yeah, why is it that if a woman makes a Bedika with an Eid, an internal inspection, and she sees Dam, why is she Asura Levaila? Why is she a Tmeya Betumas Nida? After all, we have the famous principle of Shmuel, Bibsara, Achitargish Bibsara. And the answer is, we assume that even if in her mind, she didn't identify the Yetzias Adam as Argosha, but nevertheless the aid itself sort of fooled her, because it was the aid that brought about the Dam, and that's called Argosha. Here too, the Etzpa is called a Argosha, according to Baal Amor. I mean, this is very strange to us. We're much more familiar, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to reflect, that the whole issue of Roa Da Machmas Tashmish is dependent upon what? On Bedika. If there was no Bedika, I don't know, maybe she saw Dam here, she saw Dam there, had nothing to do with the Tashmish. So on both sides, you know, as we move along here, we now have two fundamental issues here, and one fundamental kasha. The two fundamental issues are, number one, is the halach of Roa Da Machmas Tashmish predicated on Hilchas Vestos, that's the Maharal Rutenberg. Number two, No, I'm sorry. And 1b, or is it dependent upon dinim of choli? And we have to check out all the nafkaminas that denote the rights in his tshuva. And the second fundamental machlokus is, what is this roi damach mustash, which is because she had argosha, or is it because of the bdika? And then nafkamina is going to be a fundamental one, whether we're talking about three tashmishim or four tashmishim. Three tashmishim according to the Baal Amor, four according to the Rav. Then we have Akasha. And our Akasha is, why does she have to get a divorce from her first husband? Why not just do a bdikas shoferes? Okay. So on this last question, why she has to get divorced from her husband, we have to turn to Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. So the Braisa continues and says, V'tinose li'acher, okay, she's allowed to get married to a second husband, and the Gemara is going to explain, because ein ha'etzbos shavos, so even though she has a halacha from the first Baal, that she's a roh damach masash, that's only relevant to his etzba, not to the second guy's etzba. Fine. Now the Beis Yosef, here in Kuf Pei Zayin, has an introduction to roh damach mastashmish, and in that introduction, he's not comfortable with this whole business of ein etzbo shavos. You know, why should we come up with that? So he says, what?
Because it's true, that's what you go.
Okay, but she saw damach mastashmish three times. So now you're going to tell me that under the second husband we could assume she's not going to be a roh. Ein etzbo shavos, okay. So the Beis Yosef adds another variable into the equation. And he writes that rov nashim einam roels dam machmas tashmish. That we have to place this sugya into a broader context of rov. So that the chazakah here, under the first husband, for example, after three tashmish, that's going to undermine the rov. But only, in other words, sorry, let me say it this way. But it doesn't mean that now we want to take her out of the rove. We still want to apply the rove. And the rove will allow us, whenever possible, to reinterpret the facts on the ground. In other words, again, according to the Beis Yosef's premise number one, ein etzbo shavos is not, is like what we say, yesh liyashik bedochak. It's not lechatchil, it's not so simple. So smooth. But you can only appreciate this docha gadol of ein etzbo shavos, the matir to have tashmish, the second one, in the broader context of rov nashim einom roz tam machmas tashmish. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, we're going to do whatever we have to do in order to be miyashev her with the rov, to assume that she belongs to the rov. And if we have to, we're going to activate the principle, the concept of ein etzbos shofos. You know, when I saw this Beis Yosef, I was reminded of the halacha of shtar. The halacha is that if the malva produces a shtar against the lova, then if the lova says parati, we don't believe the lova. So the question is, why not? So the Gemara says, because generally speaking, when a person pays up a chov, he takes back the shtar. That's called shtar chom yod chamay boy. Okay, fine. So shtar chom yod chamay boy. But this guy, for whatever reason, he was a shlamazel, and he didn't take back the shtar. So therefore he has to pay, what is it, a knas, a penalty? But the answer is that we have a rov. And the rov tells me that people do not pay up without taking back the shtar. And we're not going to be excited about saying, well, this guy is not part of the rov. Now keep in mind that that's a mouthful, because we're going very far with this rov. We're going to force the lover, usually a motzi mechavel v'rai against the mukzakus b'molin. we don't stay, based on the rov. Most people buy a shor for harisha, and he ended up with a shor that can't plow for the life of him, and you can just shech the shor and sell its meat. Nevertheless, he can't come back to the mocher and say, I want my money back. The mocher's right to say, you know, our hakna was hakna of a shor l'shchita, not l'charisha, correct? So what do we see? We see that amotzi mekabel v'raya. You know, you want to get the money back from the mocher. It's not so simple. But here, when we have a very strong rov, then we have to assume that every individual belongs to that rov. That's what I was thinking of, just alderech associatia, you know. And here also says the Beis Yosef that the reason why we're going to apply this principle of ein etzbo shavos, ein kol etzbo shavos, is because roa adam achmas tashmish is taking her out of a rov. Okay. Now what did we say over here? We said that this happened once, twice, and three times. And therefore she needs a get. Oh. Keep in mind that as we saw already in the Shulchan Aruch, that only applies if there was a bedika immediately after Tashmish. Okay, fine. Now, according to the Ravid that we said... No, that's not in the Brisa. We're going to have to see where the Shulchan Aruch gets this from, but as we saw before, the Ravid was of the opinion that the reason why we're adding three Tashmishim to the first Tashmish is because what's unique about the first Tashmish is that there was no Bedik. Okay? Oh. So now, the Ravid says a Chiddush. The Ravid says the following. Even though she's allowed to have these three Tashmishim in addition to the Bir Rishona, he says that only applies to the first husband. When she gets married to the second husband, then it's the first three bedikas. We're not going to allow a kind of a laid back position, and let's just let nature take its course. We'll see if she sees dam on the first occasion, and then we'll institute the bedika of three times. Says the Ravid, that leniency only applies for her first husband. Because there we never had a chashash whatsoever that she would be a roa dam achmas tashmish. Aval bebaila hasheni, for kolshkein bebaila shlishi, kvar hitzricha bedikua livdok atma bebeila rishona. She's already in the web, so to speak. Because again, as we said before, the Beis Yosef already pointed out to us that Ein Etzbo Shavos is a bit of a fallback position, and therefore, L'chatchila, we're going to assume when she goes into the second marriage that maybe Etzbo Shavos. And we're not going to allow her the extra leniency of the first Bedika. V'lachain Ein Nostin La Ela Sholosh Bedikos Bilvat. She only has three Bedikos. Okay. This is before the Chassam Sofer.
Wasn't the Balavor's Knech also adds to it, because if you need a bedika before the bia also. So with the first one there was no bedika beforehand, but the second one there's always going to be a bedika because she has to make a bedika when she finishes the Shiva Nekiyim. And she's going to be, and so that'll serve as a bedika before.
Well, no, bedika before Tashmish, we mean immediately before Tashmish.
I think the most important, I thought the main thing is.
No, because again, as long as there's a time period that elapsed, we're always going to raise the possibility that maybe she already saw down before the Tashmish.
I was confusing it with it having to be bodhi, okay. So that
Right. Now, Rabos, I want to share with you the Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer wants to suggest, in the opinion of the Ravid, that even though there's already an issue about this woman based on her first husband, nevertheless she has what's called a Cheskas Tahara vis-a-vis her second husband. V'lachein af bebaila hasheni v'ashlishi eina choshesheth l'klum u'meshameshesh bepam harishona b'lo bedika. And therefore, once again, we're going to give her another three bedikos, another three tashmishim, even tachas baila hasheni, tachas baila hashlishi. Now, I don't know, because I don't have the... I mean, I own a copy of the Bali HaNefesh, but I don't know where to find it. Yechiel's not here today. He's my expert. So I don't have in front of me the Bali HaNefesh, and I I get the feeling from the Chassam Sofer that the language of the Bali Nefesh lends itself to two interpretations. But be that as it may, here's the issue, just in a nutshell. Does a woman who has already received a divorce from Reuven before she goes ahead and marries Shimon, is her cheskas tahara to some extent in question? The first interpretation before the Baal of the Chassam Sofer is, yes, we have it's a little bit of a flimsy cheskas tahara, and she has to be machadesh and establish a cheskas tahara. How can she do that? Through three bedikos with, I'm sorry, I always get this wrong, three tashmishim with bedikos. So right away from the get-go, according to this approach, she is in limbo until she can get out of that chazaka that she's a roi damachmas tashmish. Meaning, we have to go out of our way to establish that ein kol hetzbos shavos. Masha Eken, according to Chassam Sofer, once they were matir her to get married to a second husband, it means that they are absolutely reliant upon ein kol hetzbos shavos, to the extent to which she's allowed to get married to the second guy. And therefore, the first bedika, naively, is like any the first tashmish, like any first tashmish in marriage, we can naively assume is not going to bring to any, because ain't it supposed to shovel. So forget about her history with the first husband, which ended up in a calamity, in a divorce. The first husband's a new slate. The Ravid Shita is four bios. The first bios without a bedika, and therefore...
Doesn't that depend on the Rove versus
Chazaka? That's a good question. I don't know. You know, usually we say Ruva Chazaka, Ruva Adif. That Rove is stronger than a Chazaka.
That's what the
Rabbis are saying. And therefore what? Therefore you allow the fourth?
She has a Chazaka.
Right. Like the Mesa Sixth.
Yeah, she has a
Chazaka
as a Rovatash. But the Rove permits her to marry somebody else. But the Chazaka is still there.
Ah.
And therefore, that's why you need
a bedik even on the first tashmish.
A negative some sofer.
Yes. No. I think you're supporting the some sofer.
No.
Wait a minute. You want to say four? What's your magic number?
Three.
Oh, so that's the some sofer.
That's
some says three.
No.
Wait a second. The some sofer again. I don't have the rabbi in front of me, but he reinterprets the rabbi. He's not arguing with the rabbi. He's saying
the rabbi says only by the first husband you need four.
Four and
after the first, second, three. You need three. I'm saying that makes sense. Right. She has a chazaka of being a roa dam,
right?
But the rove permits her to marry somebody else.
But we still have the chazaka.
But the chazaka is still there,
right? Whereas the chazaka sofer is saying no.
No, it completely overrides the chazaka. Right.
Well, but you have to add one thing, and that is that the rove is supported by the principle of aim at. Call it phone shop.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Now we get to the Rashi. Okay. We're almost up to the Rashi. Correct. Rashi says. Okay. Just one second. I'm a little bit confused here because there are two Rashis here. The Tinase Li'ach. Yeah. Oh, the first Rashi is not relevant to us because, I mean, we've mentioned it already, so that's old hat for us. Why is she allowed to get married to a second guy? Okay. Now the Braisa continues and says Niseis Labal La'acher Ferasa Damach Mastash Shameshes Par Rishon Shlish to Shlishes Ikan Veich Lo Teshamish At Tiskash V'Tinos Eliach. So what are we up to now? When we say V'Tinos Eliach, which husband is she about to marry? Not Reuven, not Shimon, but Levi. Says Rashi, the Tlosa Zimni Beinon Lechazaka Kirab Shimon Gamliel. Beautiful. We understand this Rashi perfectly because Rashi is invoking the sugyo or alluding to the sugyo in Yevamos Samach Daled Amud Beis. Did I get that right? That we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel in Vestos, which means that the magic number for Chazaka is three. Correct?
Right.
And then he says, Bekula Garsinan Ushlishis. Okay. Now, What I'd like to learn with you, in the back of the Masifta, there's something called Biurei Rashi. Okay? Now, I know that my good friend Rabbi Kahana, Rav Nachman Kahana, wrote many, many volumes on Biurim on Tosfos, but I don't know that he did Biurim on Rashi. Did he? Well, he never told me. That doesn't mean anything. But the Masifta took it upon themselves to write Biurim on Rashi. And I have to admit to you, don't quote me on this, that 90% of what they write here doesn't help me at all. But in this case, they did a mind-boggling job. Now, I photocopied it once. You have it, Alan. So that if anybody wants to follow, they can move their chair around this way, or we can make more copies, or
read slowly.
Or read slowly. Okay, fine. So we'll start. He has three major footnotes here. Major footnotes on Rashi. The first one is Nun Dalit. So if you get a chance to photocopy this, you'll take a look. And he writes, Lama hitzrichu osol is garish, hare yesh etza lilo gerishin. He says, why do we need to force a divorce? We have an etza. Shari behemshech hagemara, isa v'tivdok atzma, that she can check herself out. Fine. So again, just to summarize, lama ain't somchin al bedika zu kidei lashira etzel baila harishon. For lama somchim ole etzel baila shlishi. That's after the third husband, the bedika works. This was our question that we had before, the Rosh's kasha. Ubi yishuv kusha zu bia Rabbi Akiva Eger. That, by the way, that means a lot to me because Rav Akiva Eger is like 800 years after the Rosh. I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating, but not by much. So it took Rav Akiva Eger to answer the question of the Rosh, which is such a bomb question. I mean, you can't tell me you know pshat in the sugya without answering this kasha, because the whole premise of the Brisa is that only after the third husband are we going to allow for this bedika and salvage, perhaps, if she succeeds, the third marriage. What happened to the first marriage? What happened to the second marriage? Why was the Brisa so quick to throw a get? In Yiddish we say, mevarf to get in ponim. You know, we throw the get into his face, into her face. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, l'shitas Rashi, again we're going to soon see that Rabbi Natan disagrees, but hadam hanimtza bitzdodim, the fact that as a result of this bedika, the dam was found not in the shoferes but on the sides, eina raya, it's not a conclusive evidence, sheyesh la maka. This is what I was hinting to you to before, that maybe the shoferes business is not such an ironclad proof. Sheyesh lachshosh, what should we be afraid of? Shema hadam bomin abokar v'hishtaya b'tzdodin. You know, it's, even though the dam came out of the mokar, it doesn't immediately come out of her body. It moves around. And therefore, says Rashi, ikara heter bibidika hu bekach shlo nimtza dam al rosh hamoch. Again, we'll soon see that in the shofers they put a cloth, and the tippy end, the top end of the cloth, as the shofers is inserted, hits the mokar, and she doesn't find any dam on the moch. Is therefore sover Rashi, shalagabi bala rishon ein lismoch al bedika shofers, kidei lehashir es osa tachtov, shrei lo huchzaka bechol mini etzbos shegormos lo lereiyah. V'itachin shenak etzbo shalabal goremes l'ri'ir. This is what I call a pufaket esvar. The exact opposite of what you would ever have anticipated. You know, I would have thought that with each successive Did I get the right successive husband? Her situation is that much worse. No? Wouldn't that be your knee-jerk response? Because she's proving over and over again that it doesn't matter which etzba it is, she's still seeing Damachmas Tashmish. If a bedika could be relevant, let it be relevant to the first Baal, but not to the third Baal. If this bedika is somewhat questionable and unreliable, how can you rely on it after she's already proven that Kol Hatzbo Shavos? Comes along Rabbi Kivega and he says, Punk Farkem. The exact opposite. The bedika is more meaningful with regard to the third husband and not the first two. Right? Why? So he says the following. Since we haven't established a chazaka of Kol Hatzbo Shavos, for that we need the third husband called Levi, right? Is he talking? It's very logical that Rak Etzva Shalabal Goremis Re'ia. At this point, we're going to assume that it's Reuven's Etzva that creates the Re'ia. Vashfoferes, the Shoferes is something different than the Baal's Etzva. Let's take a step back. What he's saying, Rabbi Kivega, is that there are two ways of going here. One way of going is to assume that any physical obstruction, any physical object is going to bring her down. The other way is to say, no, there's something about Reuven's etzva that brings her down. He says the following. After the third husband, when we assume kol etzvo shavos, because the chazok of three etzvos, now we believe that kol etzvo shavos means there's no special character in the etzva. Therefore, why is she seeing Dam? The answer is that either she has a choli or a veses, but whenever you put something in there that comes in contact with the makar, it's going to bring the Dam. And therefore, we have much more reason to rely on the bedikas shoferes after the third. But Masha'en came in the case of the first Baal, or for that matter, the second Baal, we were still under the impression that ain't kol ha etzbo shavos. That's in fact why we allowed her to have a second marriage. Therefore, we attribute the Tashmish Dam to the particular etzba. Now, I don't know if I can compare a shvoferis to an etzba. Do you follow? Shvoferis l'chud, the etzba l'chud. So the fact that shvoferis was unsuccessful in bringing Dam out, that doesn't tell me a darn thing, pardon the French, about his etzba. It's only after we've excluded his etzba, and we've now universalized all etzbos, right? And all etzbos now are shavos, then we have reason to believe that shvoferis is like an etzba.
No, but that is...
But you follow the logic. Don't give me any biology, Alan. Just pure logic.
I don't understand. You're not...
The logic is brilliant. Only Rav Kivega can get away with this.
Shvoferis is not supposed to... Its purpose is not to mimic an etzba. The shvoferis is to determine that you said you're supposed to make the bedikah immediately afterwards. Right. What you're trying to do is to discover if that dam that happened was coming from mikora. So it's only a probe. It's not for purposes of mimicking.
Again, what we want to do is we want to know if she's a roa dam machmas tashmish. Right? What does that mean? That means that this woman is in such a situation that the Tashmish is going to bring out the Dam.
Right, so you have to see the Dam bringing him Korah, that's right.
So what happens? If the Shvoferes mimics the Etzba, and yet she doesn't see Dam, that proves that it's not the Etzba that's bringing the Dam, but rather Dam is Takaminat Stodim. Just give me a second.
What does it mean? What
but when, at what point can I say that the Shvoferis, this physical object that's hard as a rock, right, is mimicking an etzba? I can only say that when I come to the conclusion that this woman's problem is all etzbos. If it's all etzbos, it means not the etzba as a particular character, but the physical object. If it's a physical object, now I'm ready to say that if it's really the Tashmish that's bringing it down, then the Shvoferis should bring it down. Masha Enkade, after the first husband, when I have reason to believe that it's his etzva with its unique character, right? It's funny that we talk about this, but when you learn Torah, everything becomes lovish, you know, and Torah-ish. That if it's his etzma that's causing the dam, correct? So what does the shofaris tell me? It tells me absolutely nothing. Why? Because the shofaris does not replace or duplicate the etzma. It's very radically different than the etzma. In fact, it's even more different than the etzma than Shimon's etzma, the second marriage. Now, why are we allowing you to have a relationship with the second husband? Because we assume that his etzma is different than Reuven's etzma, the first husband. No, then how much more so should I assume that the Shofaris is different than the first etzma? It doesn't even have any vague resemblance to the etzma. So what are you going to determine through this bedika after the first husband? Narvas, when is the bedika, as flimsy as it is, reliable? When does it give me the right to say that it's not the tashmish, but rather it's dam min amaka? That's only when I have established that all its fo shavos. What does all its fo shavos mean? It means that any sort of obstruction with a force, you know, that goes in and touches contact with the makar is going to bring about her dam.
It's not obstruction.
And nevertheless, what did she see in the shoferes? Zippo. There was no dam in the shoferes. If that be the case, then she's not a roed dam machmas tashmish.
I don't see it.
You don't see it.
I don't see it because the shoferes.
You have it, by the way, in front of you, so
I know
you
that.
Can physically
well,
see
well,
it.
Well, I physically see it. That's about it. That's
yeah.
it.
Because you want to read it again? Let's
no,
read it.
No,
are you following the text
yeah,
of
yeah,
the
yeah.
Let's read
before.
It again. He says
it?
The following. He says, so Virashi Shavabaila Rishon Aimless Moch al Bidika Shmoferes Kideli Shar Taktov Share Lohupsaka Shekol Mini Etzbos Gormos Lolariya Vitochin Sharak Etzbo Shalabal Goremis Lariya in Kena Shmoferes Aina Goremis Loriesta. Shmoferes is not going to be a replacement of the etzpah of the Baal Rishon, and therefore the fact that she didn't see Dam in the Shmoferes tells me nothing about his etzpah. Ach! Li'acha sh'roa se'etzel shlosha bailim v'huchzakol liros v'chol etzbos. Then we abstract, we make that jump, and we assume it's not the aver, you know, that's causing the Dam, but it's the obstruction as a physical object. No, if that be the case, why didn't she see Dam in the Shmoferes? In Kein Hoysa Tzrikha Liros Dam Machmas Ashoferes, Umikach Ashoferes, Lo Garma Lo Rios, Somea Mokar. Then it's not that the Shoferes is bringing out the Dam Mina Mokar, or for that matter, the Etzpah is bringing out the Dam Mina Mokar, but rather the Shoferes or the Etzpah is shaking her up, and the Dam of Makar is coming Mina Tzodim. And therefore he says, Muchach. Sha'af b'shar pa'omim hoya zerak dam min atzdodim v'lo dam min amokar v'lochein muteres li nosel yacher. I don't know, Alan, could read it again and again if you have to, but I'm telling you, this is mamish me'ein olam haba, this Rebbe Kivayger, and without it you don't have pshat in the b'raisa. Just simple pshat in the b'raisa. The b'raisa says, that's why Rashi reads the b'raisa, that after the third guy, right, after Levi's experiments three times over failed, then we do this check, this investigation examination. Why? Why not after the first guy? So that's number nun dalet. Now I'll quickly see if I can just, you know, if you have to go, but just quickly nun hey. And he says in nun hey, Rashi says, vitovoli de karis. Let's just see the Rashi. The Rashi says, where's the Tavoli de Taris? Okay, I thought I underlined it, but now of course I don't find it. Anyway, we'll trust them because we're pressed for time. Rashi says Vitavoli de Taris, meaning if we don't force a get, there'll be Taris. He writes the following. Habach higia, the Lashon Rashi, the Bach, maybe that's an easy way of finding the Rashi if you look in the Bach.
Yeah, the double letters.
Yeah? Which number in the Bach is it? Is there only one Bach here? On Dalet. Oh, do you see? So where's the Dalet in Rashi? Oh, here it is. It's about 15 lines down from the top of the page. Dibra Masa Lufisha ain't called it false shovels. Rashi says, well, double day. Karis, he adds another word, Shigigas Karis. And he writes, Gam im tira machmas tashmish, eina mischayevis bekach Karis, v'deisha eina osa kein b'mezit.
Right.
Okay, we mentioned this far before, so we have to accept the Hagos Habach here. Then we're up to Nunvav. Now again, Nunvav is a major, major footnote, and I don't know if we'll have time for it, but I just want to, again, this is my Mishigas, I just want to get a jump start on this, so I'll have something to think about in the next 2 days before the next year. He says the following. Rashi says that Hilkach Misgareshes Ad She Tischazek B'Sholosh Esbos. In other words, she can get married to the first, the second, the third. Now we're in trouble. We're up to the third, which proves that all Esbos are Sholos. Ein La Takana. At this point, she has no Takana. The only ray of hope is this Bedika. Lefisha Ein Rashas Linasi Lebal Revi Michashash Tira Etzlodam. Because all its faults are shokos. L'kachi tirilo lismoch ala bedika. Again, this reflects what we saw in Rabbi Kivega before, that this bedika is not, it's not hunky-dory, it's not smooth. Then he says, l'das Rashi, eino rashos livdok b'bala risha, kev shukso kaliros etzol machmas tashmish, rolel lisgarish linosechat. Rabbeinu tam cholik al Rashi, v'sovisha af ksharos asholosh re'ios, Bibaila Harishon Yechola Hi Imtirze Livdog Bedikas Shoferes. This is Rabbeinu Tam. So if you take a look on about, I would say, 10 lines down from the top of the page, Dibra Masla Vitivdog, there are two Vitivdogs, but the first one, and about 8-9 lines down, it says, Rabbeinu Tam Matil Larishon Bibedika. You have that?
I have it.
So that's against Rashi. He
right.
says
it's against the Brisa.
Right. It's against the Pashas in the Brisa. But he's going to try to explain, Rabbeinu Tam, why it's not such a recommended thing to have her do this Bedika. You see, at this point, if we don't do the Bedika, then we're raising the possibility that Ein Ha'etzbo Shavos. But if we do the Bedika and she fails in the Bedika, then we're going to assume that she's a real Roa Damach Mastash, no matter what Etzba, because the Shfoferes doesn't represent any particular Etzba, if you follow me. It's a generic Etzba. And therefore, she's not going to be able to get married to anyone. So basically, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're going to give her a choice. It's like it's a choice situation. She has two choices. She can either do the Bedika, which might be great if she successfully passes the test and then she can remain married to her first husband. But on the other hand, if she fails, they throw her out of college. Imagine if you had to take a test, the final in an exam. Now it could, you're doing very poorly in the course. I don't know if anyone here ever took Russian language. That's a kill. One of my close siblings got straight A's in college, except for she decided to take Russian. That's where she got a D. So imagine her, what's it called? The record of all her grades, whatever it's called. Anyway, so it's got all A's and one D in the middle because of the Russians. And if she fails this test, she won't be able to get married to anyone because we're only allowing her to marry someone else because Ein Ha Etzbo Shavos. But now we've proven that it has nothing to do with the Etzba. So that's not a good thing. If she finds Dam in the Shoferes, that's scary. Again, if you could put your mindset, put your mind into her, like it's really scary. So Rabbeinu Tam says, in answer to your question, Rabbi Isaac, is why the Brisa speaks about the Bedik after the third one. What does she have to lose in the Bedik after the third one? Nothing. Because at this point, unless she subjects herself to that Bedik, she's a Surah Lechol. All right, Rabbi said, there's a lot more in this footnote, but we'll leave something for Yom Revi'i of Yitzhak Shem. Okay, then? That's good. This is a good way of starting a new sugya, and we didn't get to the Shulchan Aruch yet, but there's a lot here in the tshuva literature, especially the Piskei Tshuva and so forth.